That fight's not happening. Holly Holm, Aspen Ladd.
Oh, it's been canned.
The rumor is that Holly Holm is fighting Amanda Nunes. It's a rumor, though.
Oh, okay.
I'm not a journalist. I'm just some guy that trains. I compete in jiu-jitsu. You know, I'm a fan of the sport. I'm not a journalist. I don't go around interviewing people. So don't ask me how I know these things. I just know these things.
David just knows these things.
Cody Garbrandt against Pedro Munhoz. Did you watch the press conference?
No, I totally missed it, man.
Oh, my God. Pedro Munhoz was one of the most respectful people I've ever seen. He's Brazilian, correct?
Okay. Yeah, he's from Brazil.
Yeah, I can tell by his accent. And he reminds me of my jiu-jitsu coach, Terry Kenville. He's very respectful. He's very calm. And when people trash talk him, he gives like witty responses where they're like, they're not foul. They're not like Conor McGregor, like Nate Diaz, you know, like he's very respectful about it.
Okay.
Like he'll force you to like him. Like even he even called Cody like a handsome guy, and Cody like blushed a little, and he's like, he's like, yeah. And he's like, you know, I like you too. He's like, but we're in the cage. It's on. We're thrown down. But I like this fight a lot though. Pedro Munhoz has beaten everybody except his first fight. I believe it was against Asensio. But Asensio back then should have got the title fight way before he did, because he was on such a big win streak. Now I think people are figuring him out. That's just my opinion though. But if Cody No Love shows up, he's sharp, because he has the anti-wrestling.
Oh,
I think Cody No Love will piece him up.
We've seen that anti-wrestling against Dominick Cruz, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was insane how he dismantled Dominick Cruz that fight.
That was a masterful performance. And Dominick Cruz was the man. He beat TJ Dillashaw. He came back from so much adversity.
I'd say that it's so funny, eh? Like the trifecta effect. It's like Garbrandt can beat Cruz, but can't beat Dillashaw. But Cruz can beat Dillashaw, but can't beat Garbrandt.
Yeah. It's weird. It's like
It's like a Pokemon, the effects of like elemental effects. Like,
yeah,
this
exactly.
one could be that one, but this
water
one could be
beats
that one.
Fire and fire beats fucking grass and
grass beats water.
Yeah.
it's like Cruz beats Dillashaw, but can't beat Garbrandt. But Dillashaw beats Garbrandt and doesn't beat Cruz.
Yeah, I've noticed another similar trifecta. It was Ronda Rousey beat Misha Tate twice.
Yep. And then Misha Tate comes in and
choked out Holly Holm after Holm brutally dismantled Ronda Rousey, and that kind of hurt.
Yep.
That like
but then Amanda Nunes
hate me all you want, but I was a really big Rousey fan. Like,
but then
poor
Tate came in and had to fight Nunes, and then Rousey had to fight Nunes too.
Holly Holm is apparently going to fight Nunes. That's what the rumor is. They're headlining
because she was in that weight class, you know. Like, yeah. I'd say she deserves a chance at that.
I mean, it was a one off.
Yeah,
they might get rid of the division, the 145.
You remember? Yeah, you said for the men's, but also the women's too. They might
get rid of two divisions just because it's not lucrative enough for now. Like Aspen Ladd, if she goes back up, she could do it. There's not really a whole lot. Like, Holly Holm had to really bulk up to do it, and she wasn't strong enough to do it. But she did put up a 5-round fight.
Yep.
So there's that. I think what they'll do is keep Cyborg, because she generates money. It's just her division. Like, when she fights, like, for the belt, it delegitimizes the belt, because they're fighting, I don't want to call them cans, but people undeserving of the belt.
Yep.
Like, I don't want like allies.
It's just because they're there, right? Like, that's just the situation.
Basically for the pay. Like, I don't want to be the person to say, but they're going there to collect the pay. Mm-hmm. I'd say Tanya Evinger was probably the closest to like actually like her and Holly Holm like really put up good fights, but Cyborg was just too much.
Mm-hmm.
But Nunes just stalked her. Nunes looked perfect in that fight. I don't even think Cyborg landed anything.
No, I don't think so.
I think it was a flawless victory.
I think maybe like one or two punches.
And like, I think Nunes was able to slip him.
Like slip them and block them, take like minimal damage, but she would, yeah, those like, oh, she was just laying hands on her.
Yeah.
And I still replay in my mind that overhand right and Cyborg just going down into the mat.
The way she crumbles.
Into the corner of the cage. Yeah, man. That was like a total David versus Goliath. Like
for real. It was just scenario. It was just as bad as Rousey getting knocked out, yep. Or Anderson Silva getting knocked out, or GSP getting knocked out.
You know, seeing somebody like big like that, like just
or like Mike Tyson, Buster Douglas, like just the biggest upsets ever happened.
You know, it's awesome though. GSP was the only person though able to like fully redeem himself, like from his knockout.
Yep.
Like immediately went fought Sarah again and like demolished him.
He beat Matt Hughes twice, and he beat Matt Sarah once.
Yep.
So there's no doubt about it that GSP is the greatest martial artist
like
of all time.
It's great because like he takes those losses and he comes back like a million times better.
It's his
and ever since then, like that first loss to Matt Serra, I found, like he's just been like always like never underestimates his opponents anymore.
Exactly.
Takes every single opponent like as seriously as he can take them.
He spoke about on his documentary that he was a little shy going into that fight. He didn't look his opponent into the eyes. He was looking downwards. I mean, like when you fight, you should look at their chest, but if you're staring them down, you're trying to intimidate them, and it's a stare down. You got to make eye contact.
Yep.
So it really showed that he was nervous and he was a little hesitant. But
yeah, you know, he's like a fresh champion. It was like what his
first title defense, first title fight.
Well, no, it was his title defense, right? Because he won the belt against Matt Hughes, right?
No, he lost to Matt Hughes.
Well, he lost to Matt Hughes and then came back and
got the belt for Matt Hughes, and hey, then he fought. Then he fought Matt Serra. He won the belt, and then he lost to Matt Serra right away. If I'm wrong, I'll quit my job.
Okay, so, yeah, his first professional fight was Matt Hughes.
And then he lost it to Matt Serra in Texas.
Oh, no, this is just his pay-per-views. Never mind.
Yeah, go to his record.
It's not his full fight record.
Scroll down for his record. There you go.
Okay, yeah, so...
So look at his losses.
Ivan Menjivar, yeah, you beat him by
his first
TKO.
Fight was against Ivan Menjivar. How crazy is that? It's just because there wasn't a lot of fighters going around. But if you don't know this, Ivan Menjivar fought at 135 in the UFC division.
Yeah, UCC.
George St. Pierre fought as high as 185. How crazy is that?
Yeah, so
and he put up a competitive fight too. Ivan Menjivar is like an OG of Quebec MMA.
So his first loss, yeah, Matt Hughes,
and then he
Dave Streiser, yeah, beat him. Jason Miller, Frank Trigg, Sean Sherk.
Then he got his belt back.
Penn. Yeah, then he won against Matt Hughes. Yeah,
he got his belt back. Then he fought Matt Serra.
Matt Serra lost.
Then he beat Matt Hughes again.
Well, he had to in order to. Fight Sarah again. He had to go through the channels. He had to fight Koscheck.
Yeah.
Then he had to fight Hughes again, and he won again.
Then he
beat Sarah and got his belt back.
Yeah, like brutally too.
Yeah.
He really like he's one of the guys that fought like I'm gonna kind of rip off Chael Sonnen saying this because of, like I agree so much with it. He's fought in every generation of welterweights and has beaten them all, including Bisping moving up in weight.
Yeah. And BJ Penn, John Fitch, Thiago Alves,
John
Dan
Fitch
Hart.
Was considered the second best welterweight. And look at his record. He's still up there. Like his record is amazing. He's just boring. Well, for casual MMA fans, he's boring. I'm just saying.
If you're a technical MMA fan, though, John Fitch is awesome. I love John Fitch.
If you do MMA sparring or if you fight in MMA, like getting taken down and getting smothered and punched at the same time is just brutal.
It's
hard. You're trying to block punches. You're trying to make sure that you're holding them. You don't want to open up your legs too much or else you're going to pass your guard. And then if they get side control on you, then you can't breathe.
And you're trying to regulate your breathing too while you're doing all this. So if they're smothering you, putting your hands on your mouth.
That is the hardest part of sparring and fighting is breathing.
Yep.
Especially with a mouthpiece in. You got to get them custom fitted to like, close your mouth properly.
That's why, honestly, like, that's why I love those Everlast mouth guards. They got that little breathing hole.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm going to look in that.
Yeah, Everlast mouth guards are pretty awesome. I love them.
I've been buying cheap stuff. Yeah.
But yet, like BJ Penn, Thiago Alves, Dan Harding, Josh Koscheck, Jake Shields, even when he was like on the
Jake
big hype
Shields
field.
Was the man when they fought, and they fought at Toronto in 2011, yep. And it broke the attendance record up until they went to Sweden.
Yep.
I remember that because I was just leaving the provincials for my brother.
And then even the last four fights, Carlos Condit,
Carlos Condit, I just missed that fight. I missed my tickets, but I got to watch a fight, Nick Diaz at Bell Center.
Yeah, Nick Diaz, and Johnny Hendricks, and Michael Bisping.
Those are all different generations of fighters.
Fighters.
The Diaz, the Condits, the Koscheks.
The Bispings.
The Bispings. Jason Maya Miller back in the day. Mm-hmm. Ivan Menjivar, Matt Serra, Matt Hughes. It just goes on and on and on.
Remember Mayhem's the show?
I don't want to talk about it because I really love Mayhem.
No, but that show was awesome.
Yeah, it really was. Bully Beatdown. But what he's going through right now it breaks my heart. It really breaks my heart. Like I don't want to get emotional about it, but like I really looked up to the guy. Like George St. Pierre, Mayhem Miller, they got me into the sport because I used to watch like Fantasy Factory and that stuff.
Yeah.
And
yeah, Bully Beatdown.
Bully Beatdown would follow that show. And,
oh, I love that show. It gives, like, the nerds a chance. It's, like, and it's awesome when, like, they brought out, like, the fighter.
They never aired the Eddie Alvarez episode because he knocked the guy out.
Yeah.
They brought in so many good fighters, if you watch. Andre mm-hmm. Arlovsky I think that was the episode they didn't air.
No, Arlovsky was brought in.
They did air that one?
They aired that one. Jake Shields was in it.
Jake Shields lost the round.
Yeah. Him himself, though. Like,
I think it was a striking round he lost.
I remember when Mayhem Miller, though, like, stepped in. That was the awesome episode. That was, like, the finale episode,
yeah,
I remember.
Yeah, yeah,
he's like, and you're going to fight me.
And, oh, my God, he toyed with him. Like, he fought, well, I'm going to ruin the magic here, but those were, they weren't paid actors, but they were people that, like, knew what they were getting themselves into. Yeah. They're not actually bullies. I'm sorry to ruin the magic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it was still awesome to see like some of these guys that like
the storylines and everything. And when you're a kid, like because I was a kid when that show was out, like I'm still pretty young, and watching that show got me into it because it showed like these guys can be beaten like with wrestling, with grappling, and if you're competent with the striking, you could set up all kinds of takedowns. George St. Pierre was the first guy that got me into sport. What got you into sport?
What got me into MMA? Oh man, it's like a funny story. Like I used to be like mad into WWE when I was like a kid.
Same.
Like, you know, like Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Bret the Hitman Hart, like even Triple H coming in, Kane, The Rock even, you know, like
yeah. Oh, The Rock.
Like
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
He was absolutely my favorite Stone Cold, yeah, man.
When it was WWF, that was when I watched it. When they dropped the F and turned it into an E, I was like,
I was actually out of it by that time, like because like I was in love with it. Like I bought the figures, had the rings, the T-shirts. I would even buy the VHS set. I used to even have a subscription to the magazine, like
yeah?
And like read it and like think it like, oh yeah, this is like. Then my reality was shattered. One Sunday afternoon, there was a special on right after WWE, and
it
showed all the smoke and mirrors like behind wrestling. Like,
don't do that. What do they call that? I'm not a big wrestling fan, but
it was almost like whistleblowing. Like they basically blew the whistle on like wrestling and in the thing before like the program started, they're like, some of these guys are like professional wrestlers right now in organizations, but they're hiding their identity behind these luchador masks. But basically they're showing how like everything happens, you know, like the sound, like the microphone under the ring, how it makes like the sound, you know, when a guy gets like slammed,
yeah.
And you know, like
and,
when a guy gets cut, it's
when
not
they
really
lay down
cut.
For so long, they hide it in their bands and they self mutilate themselves to
little nicks. But because the adrenaline, the blood's pumping, you know, it looks like they're bleeding out crazy. But really, it's a small, minuscule like cut just over the eyelid.
Over the eye, you bleed like crazy. Like this on my head bled like crazy.
Yeah.
Everyone thought I got massacred. I'm like, no, dude, I just.
So I like watched that and I was like, I'm done with this. You know, like, this is so fake. This sucks.
I watched WrestleMania when Rousey was on. It was pretty entertaining because Brock Lesnar was on it.
I, like, stopped watching it, like...
Rousey's striking a little funny, though.
Like, cold turkey. Like, I just stopped watching wrestling, though. I must have been, like, in grade 5, grade 4, maybe even. I was still pretty young when it happened.
You're a couple of years older than me, so I was kind of around the same age, too.
Yeah, so, like... that happened, and then here's how MMA happened. Like, I came home from school one day, and, like, my brother's there in the living room with, like, his friends, and, like, I see it on TV, and I'm like, oh, what's this, like, fake crap you guys are, like, watching? And the way they all looked
fake
at me, they're
crap
like,
because you're
they're
so
like,
traumatized.
No, they're like, fake crap. And, like, as soon as I look back at the screen, like, the guy gets hit and knocked out. I'm like, wait, that guy just really got punched, didn't he? And my brother's
is he
like,
dead?
And my brother's like, yeah, this is real fighting. He's
yeah,
like,
he died.
He's like, watch the next fight. And I remember it wasn't, it was Frank Shamrock. I can't remember exactly who it was. It was Frank Shamrock versus somebody.
No. Frank never fought Tito. It was Ken that...
Ken fought Tito, and they had that big rivalry, but it was
was Frank the champ at the time in the UFC?
I honestly can't remember, because like
Frank's the legit brother of the three, yeah, of the two of them. He's actually his foster brother, but they look very similar.
Anyways, though, like I remember like watching it. My brother's like, oh, see this guy right here? Is like, that's Ken Shamrock from WWE. It's his brother, but like he's a real fighter. And I remember just watching the fight, and I'm like, these guys are actually legitimately beating the crap out of each other.
Real, man.
Like
that blood's real.
Like you could tell the punches weren't like held back, or it's not that dumb stuff, you know, where they throw it and they're like stomping on the mat to make
watch
it seem
a takedown,
like
man.
The everything, even like the kicks, like
if the canvas wasn't reinforced by springs, takedowns would break necks and stuff.
Yeah,
that's why wrestling's so dangerous in the streets, or judo.
But I was watching even like the kicks to the midsection. I was like, that had to hurt. But I'm like, this is real fighting. Like my brother and his friends turned to me like, yeah, this is real fighting. This is called the Ultimate Fighting Championship. and this was like back in the day, you know, like when they were on VHS and it's got the bald man in the middle of the octagon with his two hands up.
Yeah,
like.
So corny.
Yeah, it's so corny, but at the same time, so brutal. And then later that year, New Year's Eve at my aunt and uncle's house, there was a big party. Like, all the cousins were there and whatnot. But, like, in the living room, all the uncles were sitting there, you know, they're having their beers. They're watching, they're waiting for a boxing fight to come on pay-per-view.
Okay.
But at the same time, like, UFC was just putting on, like, their highlights, their knockout highlights. And that was the first time I seen the crucifix with the elbows.
I know the fighters. Not Gilbert Avil.
But everybody knows that what I'm talking about, though. Like,
please let me remember it. I'll bring it up. It always comes to randomly like that. But I know the fighters. I feel really bad for the guy that won with all the elbows. He's kind of suffering from Parkinson's now.
But I remember watching and like hearing, like I remember looking at it, and my uncle's like looking at it and then looking at me like, you shouldn't be watching this. I'm like, oh, it's okay. I watch it with my brothers. They're like, what? I'm like, yeah, my brother watches this all the time, and I watch it with him and his friends. It's Ultimate Fighting, right?
Then you just hear the belt going.
No. No, they were just really shocked that like I was like that young and like already knew what it was, and I'm like, yeah, I'm like, I already watched this like a few times, but like this is the first time I've seen like that.
But what about your first event that you watched?
My first event that I watched was Tito and Chuck Number One.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how young I was, like being able to watch it. And
you were in high school?
Yep.
Wow. So in high school I knew about George St. Pierre, but I just knew about George St. Pierre. I never watched the fight.
I didn't know too many people, but I knew like Chuck Liddell, Tito Ortiz. I knew Randy Couture, Tank Abbott.
Just the old school guys.
The old school guys, yeah.
You're,
like
you're an
Ken
old school dude.
Like Ken Shamrock.
I'm like late old school, like pre-2010.
Okay.
Like I watched, I'd say what really got me into the sport was when Kimbo Slice was on the Ultimate Fighter.
Okay, yeah, when they were bringing him from the street fighting.
Because
and
I was a kid, and I used to watch a lot of Nickelodeon, and he was a reoccurring cast on Drake and Bell.
Yeah, the first UFC I watched was Tito and Iceman Number One, and then, like, from there, like, I wouldn't catch every single one, but, like, I tried to catch, like, as many as I could, but, like, from day one, though, like, Chuck Liddell was, like, my fighter.
Yeah. Dude, Chuck Liddell is everyone's boy.
Yeah, like he was like
Chuck Liddell, like the second cutouts like out like everywhere.
Like the second like I seen him like fight, I'm like, oh, this guy's badass, and like his mohawk, his
mohawk, walking out the Slayer.
Yeah,
the blue Iceman shorts,
the Iceman shorts to go with it. I was
the
like
celebration with the gut belly sticking out.
Yeah, the way he'd like scream like into the air, and yeah, no, he was great. Even in his prime, the Iceman was great to watch.
Yeah. I think Connor took some of his pizzazz to like the energy and some of them. There's a picture of him when Connor was 18.
Yeah,
he met him in Ireland, and you could see the energy. Like Chuck Liddell was a little inebriated, but so was Connor. But you could see the energy in both of them, and it must have inspired Connor so much. He was only 18 years old at the time. Anyways, so I'd like to think of a shout out to my sponsors. The Combat Spotlight is sponsored by Havana Cigar Lounge, your premier spot for a great, relaxing, and friendly atmosphere, wide selection of cigars, and great staff. They also showcase UFC events and hockey games on their multiple big screen TVs. Havana Cigar Lounge, located on Highway 138 in Ganawagi at the Rainbow Plaza. Just edit that.
Yeah, yeah.
I can close it up now.
It's
We're at 50. We're at 51.
Holy crap. Wow, we're talking about a lot. Any final words?
Any final words other than I'm just excited for this weekend. We got stacked cards and great events coming up.
Bellator,
UFC.
UFC the next week. Jones is coming up. Oh, okay. I have some closing words. So I've been training at VMMA for a long time. They're located on the Rainbow Plaza. And I'm really grateful to be sponsored by Havana because they're affiliated with VMMA. So with that said, because where I train with a lot of pro fighters, and last podcast that we recorded, I had mentioned my friend Pierre Tiverge, and it's been announced that TKO has signed him. And he's going to be fighting in April... TKO 47. It's just in April. They haven't given a date yet, but he'll be making it. He was fighting an opponent for the Fight Quest card, but now he's fighting the same guy, but on a TKO card. So I just want to give a shout out to Pierre. He puts in a lot of hard work. He is one of the hardest working people I know in the business. Seriously, like, I have so much respect for the guy. Like, he motivates the hell out of me. Another thing too is I'd like to get some other guests on the show, so in the future we'll be featuring other artists on here, other martial artists. Also, big fanatics too, like people who are good at betting. Like, I've won thousands of dollars off of betting myself, like, not to be a jerk and brag about it or anything, but the truth is I have won money off of betting. Like, I have a knack for it. I'm sure you've won your fair share too.
I try and stay away from like betting like that style.
Really?
Yeah.
You'll do hockey squares and stuff like that.
No, like I just do like the simple like $20 bet like here and there. Like, just to keep it simple.
I've been hooked on parlays and it's paid off. Like, I've won thousands of dollars off parlays.
Actually, one thing like me and my friends will do is like we'll do like a $5 a fight thing, and what we do is we flip heads or tails, and whoever wins the flip gets to pick the fighter for the first fight.
Wow.
And then whoever loses that fight for the next fight, they choose the fighter, and so far until the whole card's done, and then either you're even or you're only up like five, or if you're lucky you won like $25 because you guessed all five fights like perfectly. And
wow, that's
it's like a good way not to go broke and like not to steal your friend's money and like, yeah, keep it even, you know.
But sometimes,
and
like,
it makes it fair too.
I hang out with a lot of competitive people though, like, I don't know if you do, but like, these people are nuts. They want to bet $50 at a time, $20 at a time. They're not
degenerates.
Basically, yeah. That's why I chose my choice for betting is Mizoju, but there's other ways to bet that you bet on. But my point is, I want to shout out Pierre Tiverge. Find him on Facebook. He's signed by TKO. I spar with him a lot. He beats me up a lot. Like, the dude, he fights at flyweight, but believe you me, he's a big guy. And James Cardinal Lozon is also fighting Fight Quest February 23rd. So be sure to check that out. That is happening at the Knights. It is run by Stefan Vinu and Francisco Filippi. Very good promotion. It's on the reserve, so, you know, it's a loophole to showcase MMA. So please check that out. Really great companies. Once again, I'd like to give a shout out to Havana Cigar Lounge. You know, they're really great staff. They're very friendly. I love watching their fights there. Great couches. Plus, their cigar selection is amazing. If you're into that kind of stuff, even their bathroom is like, if you like taking selfies in bathrooms, go ahead, man. Their bathroom looks great, you know. But I got to wrap things up. You know, my name is David Bova. I'm your host. Luke Dabo is my co-host.
Yep.
You got anything to say?
Nope.
Nope. Short and sweet. All right. Catch you next time, guys.